Welcome to the Advocate Like a Mother podcast. We are here to empower and motivate you to use your voice. I'm Michelle.
I'm Ileana.
Today on the show, we have JC Dalrymple, who is advocating in the state of Montana for individuals with disabilities to be able to get organ transplants. And we have some exciting news. Griffin's Law, which was named after JC's son, who has Down syndrome. Griffin's Law passed last week. So congratulations to JC. We are so proud of you. Such exciting news. Great timing on the release of this podcast.
Absolutely. We're really excited. Super excited. And I think it's a really good episode.
You know, it's so interesting to me. So Eli's seven, and I remember when he was born, you know, I automatically went onto Instagram and started following everyone I could find who had, you know, a kid with Down syndrome, and really there weren't that many accounts. And there was this one mom that I found, and she had a little girl that was born like within a couple weeks of Eli, and we became friends, and they both, you know, had heart defects, and things started to go really bad with her heart, and it ended up being like she ended up passing away because they weren't able to give her a new heart. They weren't able to do an organ transplant for her. And it was just, it was the most devastating thing. And I just remember thinking, like, what if this was my child? And I just felt so out of control. My heart was so broken for this family. I couldn't even believe that she was being denied a heart simply because of an extra chromosome. And I remember thinking, like, this has got to change. And I'm just so proud of moms like JC that are stepping up to the plate and taking care of business and making change happen, because this is so unfair, this discrimination that is happening to, you know, people. It's just, it's mind-blowing to me that this is happening in this day and age. And you know, one of the things I was reading in this article, it says, discrimination is illegal under the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, but the act has no specific enforcement measures. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's like, we're not going to, you know, it's don't discriminate. But I mean, if we don't, you know, we'd have no way of keeping you accountable, you know?
Right.
Talking to JC, I really was blown away. And really the fact that something like this has to be signed into law, you know,
yes,
you're talking about children who are generally healthy. Obviously, we know that like certain parameters for like health and wellness need to be taken into consideration. But on the sole basis of a child, the fact that they have a disability is a disqualifying factor. I mean, if that's not discrimination, I don't know what is.
You know? Right.
And so I think in just those that are listening, this is just another layer of that advocacy of just our kids, you know, are not welcomed in certain spaces. I mean, this is a medical situation where literally they're being judged on their disability alone. You know,
yes.
JC talks about how Griffin's medically healthy, but just on the basis of Down syndrome, it's just mind blowing. And really, we just want our kids not to be ahead of anybody else, but to be seen as equals. And this is clearly not the case. This is absolutely just picture perfect of discrimination. So yeah, I'm absolutely proud of JC what she's doing and what she's done in Montana. And hopefully that this common sense law could be just a thing across the board.
Right, right. I was looking into it and I saw that legislation passed in California in 1996. So hooray for California. We were the first ones. After that, the next state was New Jersey in 2013. It took that many years for the next state to get on board. And
they
so
had to
now,
think about how many kids in the midst of all of that had to pay the consequences of that being a barrier for them.
Right.
Horrifying to even just ponder that for a second.
Right. And so it says currently legislation is pending in the following states. So we've got Alabama, Colorado, Georgia, Illinois, Minnesota, North Carolina, New York, Tennessee, and Texas. So it's still pending in those states.
If you're from those states and they're pending, this is a really great opportunity for you to jump in local change and things that will directly impact you, if not those that are within the community. This is a tangible way to actually advocate and get on board, even if you don't have a child with a disability. I mean, this is just really, really sad that we're in 2021 and we're still having to do this uphill climb of just, hey, my child's a whole human being.
Right.
That deserves like respect and access to the basic human rights. So disappointing, but I'm really excited for JC and just hopefully encouraging parents how she got started, how she's moving along, and maybe other parents can carry on the banner for her.
Yep. Okay. Well, without further ado, here is JC.
JC, thank you so much for joining me today on Advocate Like a Mother podcast. I'm really excited to have you on. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself, your family, and just kind of the things that you guys like to do together.
All right. Well, my name's JC Dalrymple. I live in Northwest Montana, and I am married. My husband's name's Lucas, and we have two children. My daughter, who is two, and she's, like I told you earlier, she's a wild woman. And my son Griffin, who will be seven this Valentine's Day, and he is he's wild, but very kind of ornery and calm at the same time. he's funny. We had our annual blood work today, so he put me through the ringer today.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little tired, but living in Northwest Montana, I don't particularly like to be outdoors because we have lots of grizzly bears and mountain lions and wolves, but we do try to get outside or go on drives because we live in like the most beautiful area of Montana that there is. And we live in a little town of like, the little town we live in is like 200 people.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. At its max capacity. And then, the town that, Griffin goes to school in is like 6 miles away, and it's, about 1500 people. So we're really little, and we're about 7 miles, just south of the Canadian border.
Oh, okay. That's really awesome. Yeah. I'm in Southern California, so I think I have very little experience with like wild large animals. I think right now possums are just our biggest issue in my neighborhood.
we have deer that literally like come up on our porch and we have to like shoo them away. They put their head in my car when I'm trying to load the kids up.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like that only exists in movies, but that's really cool that you guys get to.
No, it's real. They're pretty much the deer around our house are like domesticated. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're not very scary, but they still like come out of nowhere and startle me. And
oh, I'm sure.
Have to, like, stop my kids from trying to pet them. I'm like, don't pet the deer. All of them are like this calm.
Oh my goodness.
The last thing I need is for you to get kicked by a deer.
Right, right. No, that's really interesting. I always find it fascinating. It's just like, I mean, we're all in the United States, of course, but just such a difference in contrast. I mean, Southern California girl, I mean, it's like summer today over here. So it's just really bizarre.
It was 1 degrees. Oh. 1 degrees taking my kids to school.
Okay. Okay. So I'm not going to complain about the 64 it was earlier this week. Okay. Okay.
I'm a redhead and I'm from Montana. Like 64 is my perfect weather.
Oh gosh. Wonderful. I love it. I love it. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, kind of the project that you're working on right now. And maybe you can elaborate for those who haven't had a chance to follow you yet. And first and foremost, I want to talk about, you know, what first inspired you to kind of share Griffin's story, which has ultimately led you into this legislative aspect of disability advocacy.
I guess it first started kind of mildly back in like 2018. I saw some social media posts from another Down syndrome parent. His name is Wayne Pearl and his daughter is Evie. Mm-hmm. And I think her page was extraordinary. I don't remember what her page was, but he was fighting for the legislation in his state and to help stop discrimination when it comes to organ transplant solely on a disability diagnosis. And when I heard that some states don't even have that legislation in place to protect people, it made me wonder, I'm sure Montana doesn't, because we seem to always be a couple steps behind, and mm-hmm. I was right. We did not have anything like that in place. And so I thought, maybe this is something I should look into, but I'm sure there's someone more qualified than me. I'm a hairstylist and a mom. I don't mm-hmm. know anything about the legal system or how any of that really works. And but then in January of 2019, Griffin had to get his tonsils and adenoids removed, like many of our children have to do, and because he was having obstructed sleep apnea. And he just went in, surgery was good. He didn't handle the anesthesia well after, coming out of it. But, it was fine. Went home, and it was about 3 days post-op. And they usually say, 3 days is the worst. And so he was just really, really lethargic and just not good. And I had my in-laws take the little baby. She was, 9 weeks old. And just take her for, a couple hours so I could just focus on him. And he wanted to just be on me. And so I, had him on my chest. And I could feel he was really fighting for air. And I it startled me, and I lifted up his shirt, and he was pulling, and just I could tell he was fighting. I got a hold of my parents, who live 100 yards away from me, and my family also owns a bar and restaurant. My dad was working that day, and he literally just left it open. That's how little of a town we are. Nobody showed up.
Oh, okay.
Left it open, and he came and rushed me and my son to our local doctor's office. Mind you, we are about 70 miles away from the nearest hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we get to the doctor's office, and his oxygen was 72. It was just
wow.
bad. And he was allowing them to monitor him and check him out, which was my biggest indicator that something was wrong, because he was not fighting. He was not fighting them one bit. And I'm something's really wrong, because he's a fighter. Everything's a fight. I just had to wrestle him to clip his fingernails. Everything's a fight.
Yeah.
And he wasn't fighting. And so they wanted to actually life flight him to, it's called Kalispell. It's a bigger town in Montana. They wanted to life flight him down there, which I would have been happy to have that happen, but then I couldn't have gone with him. I would have had to drive myself separately, which I just didn't want to do, and someone else would have had to drive. But the fog was so bad that day that they couldn't, so we had to get in an ambulance, and we were heading down, and we actually had to meet the nearest town's ambulance, because they actually had a real paramedic on call. And anyways, we finally get to the hospital, and we were in the ER for a long time, and Griffin's kind of perking up. They gave him a shot of steroids, and then he's on oxygen, he's perking, he's fighting. He starts, once we get admitted into the children's part of the hospital, he just kind of plummeted, and after they took some x-rays, he ended up being put into the PICU. And he, while he was healing from his tonsils and adenoids, and he had contracted a common cold. So it was human metapneumovirus, which actually has a lot of similar symptoms to COVID, which makes this even scarier right now. So he had contracted a virus, and it had evolved into bacterial pneumonia, and he went into respiratory failure.
Oh my goodness.
This happened within like 18 hours. Like, it was ridiculous. And so it was about 5 o'clock in the morning at this time, and they decided to intubate and sedate him because he was in respiratory failure. And he was intubated and sedated for, I think, 6 or 7 days. And then we were in the PICU for 10 days total. And when he got, I mean, it was scary. It was like, my son has no other major health conditions, no heart issues that are common with children with Down syndrome. He basically only has like hypothyroid. And other than that, it's all just like therapies that he needs, no real medical anything. Mm-hmm. Very strong, very robust little boy. And he just plummeted. And it was so scary because I've never had to deal with anything like that with him. And like, it was a living nightmare. And I know other parents have bigger battles in our world, like in the Down syndrome community. There's just so much, it can be so much worse. So to even just have like a small experience with it was enough for me. And yeah. When we found out he was in respiratory failure, he got better by like day 8. He was out of, they took him off sedation. They extubated him, and he bounced back pretty quickly after that. Like, once he kind of felt good, he crushed all the little goals they had for him to go home, and we went home. And after that, just, I was ridden with anxiety for a really long time. And that the whole thing with the organ transplant kind of was sitting in the back of my mind. And I knew, like, okay, I haven't heard any more about it. So I kind of reached out and found out that nobody really was doing anything yet. I was really hoping someone who was more qualified was going to do it, but no one had. And I happened to do one of my clients' hair, and she knows a lot of people in Congress, and she knew who to kind of reach out to. She has a lot of a really large network. So I kind of told her what was kind of going on, and then what Griffin's experience, and she jumped on it. She was like, let me talk to some people and let me reach out. And so she had reached out and found some a senator that was interested in it. And but then then COVID hit.
Right.
It was pretty slow moving at first, but then with COVID coming along, everything kind of stopped. I just kind of put it on the back burner. And then she reached out to me a couple months ago, and she's like, they're still wanting to do this. And they're actually like taking the copy of the bill that Wayne Pearl had sent me. And they're drafting their own from Montana. So it's going. And she's like, and be careful, it happens fast. And she was very much right. Like, I was, you know, I'm in Montana. We're pretty slow paced kind of living. It's like, yeah, slow paced. We don't even have any traffic lights in my town.
Oh, gosh.
So slow paced. And this, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Southern California, we have them at every, like, every block. Gosh.
Yeah, you wanna be like in real nature, come to Northwest Montana.
Yeah.
But it's like our little secret too. And so things got moving really quickly. I was trying to keep up with everything in the emails, and I don't know a lot of the terminology, so Google was my friend, and I had to just kind of catch up. And they're like, okay, we need you to come to Helena, which is our capital, and that's like 6 hours away from me, and it's middle of winter. And so we need you to come here and testify. And so that's what I did last week. And it actually passed through the Senate today.
Yes.
It's the 9th.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
The Senate today. And yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. So that's kind of like how I got to this point. Is I thought it was something that needed to happen. And I had my own experience that was terrifying. And thankfully, the talk of never came up that Griffin needing any like lung transplant. But just even knowing that he crashed so hard so quickly and he had no other underlying conditions really that should affect it, it was terrifying. And knowing that they could deny him just because he has Down syndrome and not because of any other medically significant reason.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to kind of point that out. I think a lot of people really don't understand if they're not raising a child with a disability or don't have a disability themselves, really the protections and lack thereof kind of pose huge barriers for people. So for those who might not be familiar with this bill yet, it is, I wanted to kind of read a part of it, and it's the bill's purpose. So it's an act providing for non-discrimination and access to anatomical gifts and organ transplantation on the basis of disability, providing a cause of action for alleged violation of non-discrimination provisions, and prohibiting insurers from denying coverage solely on the basis of disability. And it also kind of goes on because it provides in the bill, like, you know, definitions and stuff like that to kind of make it very clear. But as
there's,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go ahead.
You know, so, so as you prepared to kind of, you know, get this ball rolling, what was your initial response kind of in realizing that legislation like this needed to be created in the first place in order for disabilities, you know, to be protected?
As a mother, I was angry that we even have to do this. I think so many people who don't have a child with a disability or have a loved one or anything, or people with disabilities, people don't realize that there's so much fight for just the basic rights when it comes to obviously medical, educational, just like socially, there's just so much fight that has to happen that, you know, we don't always talk about. And I'm glad we have platforms now to talk about it, because the outrage I felt when I had heard this and then experienced my own scare was like, well, you know, maybe I'm not the right person, like most qualified to do this, but I am, because I'm a mother. And
yes,
I like, who better to advocate for than exactly what this podcast is about?
Yes.
Who better than a mom? And I knew I didn't have to have experience when it came to anything within Congress or legislation. I just had to go in there and tell them, like, my child is just as worthy of anybody else to be considered. I'm not saying he needs to be put ahead of anybody else, but he needs to be considered just the same as anybody else, because the only thing on his health record is some hypothyroid, which is not a huge deal. We have a very controlled, and Down syndrome. So he could be denied that when he actually lives a very healthy life. Like, he's very strong. He gets very minimal sicknesses.
Yeah.
Because I think he rolls around on the ground a lot. He gets a lot of antibodies. But yeah, it was just, yeah. He's a dirty Montana kid.
And, you know, I think that that's also something that people may not understand is that, for anybody who's looking for, you know, an organ transplant, anything like that. Yeah. There are healthy boundaries to say, you know, qualifying measures. But in this case, you know, we're talking about on the sole basis of a disability, disregarding a healthy lifestyle, which is just absurd to me. So, you know, I was also kind of reading a little bit more because I also have a daughter with a disability, and she is medically uneventful. Like, we see the doctor as, you know, once a year for like the formality. So very much in the same. And so it very much hits close to home that just on the basis of being, you know, on being neurodiverse, so to speak, that would be a disqualifying factor. So under section one of the bill, it says that the legislator finds that an intellectual or physical disability does not diminish a person's right to healthcare. This is the fight that many people, again, that don't understand. And it seems like it would be common sense that mm-hmm. we just as you mentioned before, we're not asking for our kids to be before anybody else, but to be seen equal in the eyes of healthcare access and treatment. So,
yes,
you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are listening who don't have a child with a disability or aren't disabled themselves. So can you share some general like misconceptions people may have about like the protections or lack thereof when it comes to people with disabilities? So, you know, a lot of people think we've come a long way in terms of like the days of institutionalization, sterilization, all the horrors of history, right? Which we have, we have. I think a lot of people may believe we are further ahead than we really are. And so I think as you're kind of, you know, working out in this kind of legislative and as a mom, just in general, I'm curious to see what you think like the general public may feel in terms of like, kind of misconceptions that, you know, people with disabilities have it easier, like that we get, you know, handouts or they get hand, you know what I mean? Like what are those misconceptions you feel that people might have if they're not walking in your shoes?
Yeah, I would agree that they probably think that we get more, but they don't see, like we get more resources for kids, but they don't see that you often have to fight for every resource, for every extra therapy, any extra evaluation, or like within schools to just say, like, my kid should be in a fully included classroom if that's what we find best situation for him. But like that's a fight for many, many, many parents. Thankfully, we do not have that fight. Our school district's great, but that's not the case for everyone. And often more, I think probably more often than not, it's a battle. And when it comes to like medical needs, I think that like the people I've told about this bill, like especially in my community, they're outraged by it. They're like, well, why is that? Like, I didn't even think that could be a thing. And it's like,
well, yeah,
this is a thing, but it's not like the only thing that's happening.
Right.
Like just, I mean, yeah, it's like, this is just one thing we're trying to take care of. And it's not even, you know, in the grand scheme of all the things we have to do to fight for our children, it is just one thing. And organ transplant would seem like a huge thing, but it's like one of the things we as a special needs community are just kind of checking off, like, okay, we got this, we're taking care of this, but there's still so much work to be done. And I guess I'm not sure of like misconceptions, because I find like the people I'm around are very accepting. Mm-hmm. And they want to know like more. I get asked a lot of questions, and especially from other parents, like, what should I how should I talk to my child about disabilities, which I love when they reach out, and I'm like, don't feel bad about reaching out. I love to answer that. And
yeah,
I think a big misconception is that we don't want to talk about our child's disability. Like we don't want to, it's like something we're not proud of. And I'm very proud of it. Like Griffin is like a little celebrity no matter where we go. And it's like, I'm proud. That's my son. And
yeah,
he rocks an extra chromosome, and it's like, he's just a little extra badass.
I love it. Yes.
Like, that's often is like, I think people think they need to feel sorry for us.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way. If anything, it's like, I feel sorry for you if you've ever experienced somebody with Down syndrome or any other disability. I'm like, you're missing out. So I think that's more, it's like, it's there. We don't, their life is just not as enriched or as full as, you know, a neurotypical child.
Yeah. And you know, I agree. I think that that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions or maybe just lack of clarity or understanding. I don't always think it's malicious, but I think that's why platforms like this exist, to have these kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, you know, in regards to platform, so previously you mentioned that you shared kind of the latest update in terms of Griffin's law, which it passed the second Senate reading 49-0. So now we're waiting for it to go through the House.
Yeah, yes. It went actually through its third reading today.
Oh, third reading today.
The final reading, and it went 50-0.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so I checked this morning, so I must be late, but I'm really excited about that. So if it's even possible. Okay, perfect. If it's even possible to, like, describe, but, like, how are you feeling about this moving along in terms of getting this law put into place? Because as you said, which I find to be probably a really encouraging point, you yourself mentioned, I wasn't qualified. I'm just, you know, a hairdresser. I'm just a mom. And yet here you are being really the force in moving this thing along that's going to impact your state as a whole. So how do you even put into words what this kind of feels like and as it's moving along?
I feel like part of me is like super excited and proud, but I feel like if someone, anybody else's child was kind of in this situation, if you knew the right people and you just had resources helping you, you would do the right thing, the same thing too. But I also feel like I get a little imposter syndrome going on and be like, am I really doing this? And then it's like, well, hell yeah, I am really doing this. We are doing this. And I feel like I'm just so not qualified, but at the same time, it's, yes, I am. And it's exciting. I've had a lot of, I don't have a huge like social media following or anything. It's like a lot of my, I have a huge family, so it's a lot of family. but I've had a lot of people reach out to me and be like, thank you for doing this. And I'm like, you don't really need to thank me. I just felt like I had the right information, the right people giving me the groundwork. And then I knew the right people to get the ball rolling. And I just kind of had to, I've kind of facilitated it, but you know, going there and speaking on behalf of this bill, which was crazy and exciting, but I was like, don't cry. And then I went in there and I like nailed it and it was great. But I don't think it's going to hit me yet until it's like signed into law. And we're hoping to take Griffin down to meet the governor when it gets on his desk and he signs it. We hope so, but that means Griffin gets to take over the Capitol, which could be interesting. We have a big, beautiful Capitol building, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to chase him up those stairs.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to wear running shoes, and yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
My daughter's going to talk to everyone and want to be held. Yeah.
It'll be an experience nonetheless. it'll definitely be an experience.
Such a big building.
Yeah.
I'm going to do so much running. I feel like with, you know, people reaching out and thanking me, and I don't really feel like I don't need to be thanked.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I just kind of knew what was going on. Like, I just felt like I had the right opportunity to do so. But I'm grateful they reach out. It definitely makes me feel like, okay, we are doing this and we are doing this for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah.
My son isn't really going to probably need one that we know of, but we don't know what happens tomorrow. But if this is a law that gets put into place and never has to be used, great. That is the
yeah.
But they never, once the bill's like written in and it's a law, hopefully we never have to go back to it. But if we have to go back to it just once, it's absolutely worth everything. It's just to have it. And I've had people say, is this really happening like in our world? And I'm like, it is, you know. Yeah. I haven't heard anything personally from Montana, but it doesn't matter. We just have to have that insurance there to like make sure that they are protected. And it's just one step to getting our children the equality that they deserve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's kind of the greater impact of advocating, is that you're not just advocating for your particular situation, but you're also advocating for the vast majority, even if it's not something that you're going to be using. But life is unpredictable. So it is absolutely important that you have something like that in place. But we're going to take a quick break. But don't worry, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Okay. So we're just going to move. We'll just move right along. Okay. So, all right. So, you know, with everything kind of moving along, I'm curious to know if there's been any kind of significant challenges or possible pushback you've faced in developing this bill at any point in the process at all?
Not really. Like, everyone who finds out about this has outrage. And that's what I want. I don't want admiration for doing it. I want you to be outraged.
Yes.
And calling your legislators and getting a hold of your representatives and your senators. I want people to use their voice and their ability to help fight for my kid, not just my kid, but for my kid and for other people with disabilities. But I haven't really had any pushback when we were kind of talking about presenting the bill to the first committee it has to go through. One of the co-sponsors had asked me if she's like, I have to, you know, bring everything that's gonna, they may say, they may ask. And if they're asking, are we just creating a solution where there is no problem? And we need to see where this is actually happening. And they wanted me to find cases in Montana. And I reached out to some of the people I knew, but like I said, I don't have a huge social media like following or network, but was able to find stories that happened within our country. Mm-hmm. And so I felt confident going in that I'm like, okay, if that was their only real concerning question is if this is actually happening. Then we kind of had that taken care of. So, and then they never even asked the question, but like we showed up to the committee meeting, the sponsor, the senator, his name's Tom Jacobson. He's from more like central Montana. Montana's huge, by the way.
Yeah.
And so it's big. But he's sponsoring the bill and he's awesome. And he, you know, gave a great description of it, explained it. And then I went up and testified, and then some of my family did. And I know a lot of people wrote in testimonies, and then they didn't have any questions. And I was like, that's a good sign.
That's a great sign.
It's clear. It's clear. Yeah. Then when the committee meeting was over, we went out in the hall, and one of the senators, I wish I could remember her name, a younger lady, she came out and stopped us, and she was like, I just wanted to tell you, you did great on your testimony, but you have so much support around this already in the Senate and the House. So I look forward to helping get this going. And it was just really encouraging because I don't know this lady. And to know that this is reaching places. And I guess at times it doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
Then I get to do cool things like this, and I'm like, oh, it is cool. It's happening. And
yes,
I know. I think it's 16 other states have passed similar bills, and there's 8 pending right now.
Wow.
That I know of. That's the last statistic I had heard. And so, you know, we're getting there, and because there is a federal law that prohibits it, but there's no quick way to handle discrimination when it happens. And usually in cases of organ transplant, these need to happen quickly.
Yes.
And it's immediate need, and quickly. We don't have time to go to federal courts and deal with it that way. We need a system in place within your own home, state to handle discrimination. And
yeah.
that's the way we have to do it. Even though it's federally, it's there. We're not trying to create anything new to happen. It's there. We just need it. Bring it home.
Yeah. And I'm really excited that you have a lot of support and encouragement, in between your family and those that are also working in getting this law put into place. So that's really awesome, because I feel like there are other circumstances that happen in regards to people with disabilities and their protections. An example is kind of like when it comes to school things, there's always some kind of pushback and things can get really ugly. So I think that that's, you know, really awesome that we can at least, you know, move forward uneventfully in a way without a lot of pushback.
The no questions and having not one person vote no on passing the bill in the Senate was like, through every single reading, was awesome. Like, that was like super encouraging. So I am assuming it should go that well in the House.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't see there being any pushback, and there better not be.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And no, I think that's
Mama Bear's coming out.
And we have to. I feel like that really is one of the things that, while you might not be, you know, quote unquote, qualified through academic measures and, you know, diplomas and stuff like that, there's a level of passion that only comes when it's really personally driven. And that sometimes is lacking. So I think that you can't underestimate your ability and the purpose in which you're moving, because you're really speaking on behalf of lots and lots of other people that long after, you know, you and I are gone, this can still be put into place to be protective, which I think is really awesome. And, you know, as you're kind of like in this whole realm of, you know, legislative work, where do you still see that there's like opportunity to kind of grow in terms of like where are protections still kind of needed for our kids?
You know, in the state of Montana, I don't know of much myself, but it's made me want to find out.
Yeah.
I want to know if there's anywhere else we can keep fighting. Because now it's like, I know we can do this, and we can do this with support. There's not a lot of pushback. What else can we do? What else? Where are our loved ones with disabilities being misrepresented or not represented at all?
Yeah.
And what can we do about it? And now making... you know, building a network with some of these people within Congress, it's made me want to figure out what else we can do. And I don't plan on switching careers anytime soon. But
hey, listen, you never know. Yeah.
I've been born and raised in a bar, my family's own bars my entire life. I curse like a sailor. Probably no way I'd be alive. But maybe that's what we want.
Just a little bit.
It wouldn't be very good. But maybe that's, and I'm like a kind of a loud redhead, so it would maybe be impactful.
Well, I mean, you know, we need different types.
I want to advocate more.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that's really awesome, because I think when you come and you face kind of a situation, it almost is like opening up like a Pandora's box of like, okay, well, what else? Like, if this is a thing, which seems like a no-brainer kind of situation, where else, like you said, are people with disabilities being misrepresented, and how can we come alongside, you know, other self-advocates or for, you know, our own kids in making a difference, which I think is really, really awesome. And just absolutely remarkable, because like I said, there's room for all types of advocates. Okay. So you don't have to be prim and polished, so to speak.
No.
We need, you know, parents and moms and caregivers and families to be, you know, we need those who kick down the door a little bit. So yeah. There's place for every advocacy style. So,
like I'm a fifth generation Montanan. My son's a sixth generation Montanan.
Yeah.
And so I felt like, you know, Montana is my family, my entire family's home. And
yeah,
you know, I plan on being here a very long time, and I want to know someday when I leave this world and leave my child behind, that there's nothing that's going to stop him from getting the life that he deserves. Yes. And not having to fight for those basic human rights that, you know, healthcare is, it's not a privilege. It's a necessity. Like you're entitled to that, and you should be able to access it just as well as someone else that's perfectly healthy. You actually would need it more. You need it.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing to go into. It's just something like we gotta move forward and see what else we can do. And I'm glad I'm able to help do this. And it is an honor to get to do this and be able to have my voice heard, and knowing that I am helping other families and individuals with disabilities in our state it's really humbling and really it's exciting. And I'm excited to do more.
I love that. I really do love that.
What else we gotta do?
I know. And maybe we'll just have you back and with all the other projects you're working on. But you know, kind of just to wrap up, you know, to wrap up our conversation, which I've just thoroughly enjoyed, you know, I'm sure there's someone that's going to be listening to this podcast at some point, and they're thinking to themselves, like, you know, I don't know the first thing about getting involved in legislative work. I want to make a difference in my state, my community, you know, on a national level, et cetera. You know, what encouragement or perhaps practical piece of advice would you give them in order to get started?
I would say, reach out to people, even talking to your town mayor, or someone that might know something, even a teacher or a principal, like they may know how to help get you going. And also that, like, Google is your friend if you need definitions, or just ask people. Like the friend that I had talked to, and who she had reached out to different senators. You know, I just send her a message like, what in the email they said this, what does it mean? And I'm not too proud to ask, like, can you clarify what that means to me in terms I will understand? Like, don't be scared to sound uninformed, because you're looking to learn. And
I love that.
I've learned so much from it. And don't be scared to ask questions. You're not going to sound stupid. You're not going to, if you are a parent or a loved one, you're going to sound passionate, whether you know exactly what they're talking about or every, you know, fancy word. That's what Google's your friend. And, I had to do a lot of the, how do you pronounce this, and have like the Google voice speak it back to me a few times. Know that no matter your position in life, you are just as capable as someone in Congress or in, you know, any higher level of power. You're just as capable, and you're just as powerful. You just have a different route to get there.
I love that.
That's all, really.
I love that. I think as parents, we have the ability, especially those of us who are raising kiddos who, as I like to say, taking the scenic route to where they're going. We're real quick to drop our pride for the well-being of our kids. So I feel like, you know, we just have to make sure to be like, listen, I will look like a fool. I will mispronounce all the things, and I will put myself completely out there if it means protecting my child. And so I really love that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that piece of advice.
I felt going into it. Yeah. I kind of felt going into it, be like, I might sound ridiculous, but they're going to know why I'm there. They're going to understand why I'm there. I might not understand how they're going to make it happen, or what, you know, the bill actually says.
Yeah. But
they will know why it's important to, you know, our disability community. And it doesn't take fancy words. It doesn't take a higher education. It just takes, like, caring. It takes a, like, we got to do more for our children or for our loved ones. And if you even have anything inside of you that's telling you, like, something's not right, we got to change this, do it. Find, you know, reach out to people, and just reach out to someone. Someone in your community is going to be able to at least guide you in the right direction. And the beauty of social media is you have such quicker contact. You can email them or get on a Zoom call. You don't have to, you know, drive across your state to go find someone.
Yeah.
You have them there. And it is your right to be heard by the, you know, by congressmen. It's their job to represent you.
Yeah. And
it's, you know, it's their duty to listen. And it's, with social media, it's made that a lot more accessible. So
yeah,
I think knowing that it's more accessible than we probably think it is.
Absolutely. Social media is kind of it's a gold mine. I mean, it's sometimes scary, but it definitely is such a great resource. And speaking on social media, you know, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. And, you know, where can our listeners follow you, support what you're doing, maybe, you know, just keep in touch with that, with what all that you're doing, because I'm sure that this podcast isn't going to, you know, encourage others to maybe take a closer look at their home state. Yeah. So where can we follow you?
I'm on Instagram. I'm under Khaleesi, because I'm a big Game of Thrones fan.
Okay. Yeah.
Khaleesi J, which is J-A-Y-Y-Y, I believe. I
don't worry. We'll tag all your stuff in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send that to you. And then on Facebook, which I'm probably more active on Facebook just because that's like where my like family is more active, but I'm trying to kind of move towards Instagram a little bit more, but I post on both very equally. And on Facebook, I'm JC Joe Dalrymple. Usually the pictures of me and my family. And yeah, if you want to reach out to me, you're more than welcome to. You're going to see a lot of probably funny memes and my family. That's pretty much all I share about, and some hair pictures, but that's about it. And yeah, I would love to spread out my community a bit more on social media.
I love that. Well, we're excited to hear all that's going to be happening, and we'll be keeping our listeners updated with what comes of, you know, Griffin's Law once it comes, you know, put into place. But, you know, I've really enjoyed our conversation today. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
And
thank you. I was so nervous.
Oh no, we're just two girlfriends having a chit chat that hopefully thousands of people will listen to later. But it's been such a pleasure, and I look forward to just following you and seeing all that you guys have in store. So we'll keep in touch.
Great, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening. As always, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate it, and share this episode with a friend. Access resources, episode notes, podcast merch, and more at www.advocatelikeamother.org. And if you're a company looking to partner with us via sponsorship, please reach out to us on our website. And lastly, follow us on Instagram at @advocatelikeamother and join our community group on Facebook. Friends, we'll see you next time.